Oh, children are such a blessing, aren't they? Before they are dismissed for Children's Church, would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Rich. I know that was a lot of work that you put into that, so thank you. Appreciate it very much. Let's pray real quick. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the blessing of children. Not only our own, but also the children of others that we are surrounded by every Sunday, and it is such a joy to be a part of that. Lord, I thank you for our mothers and for this day that we have to celebrate the blessing that they are to us, for these instrumental figures that you have put into our lives to draw us closer to you, to show us part of who you are in this world. Lord, I pray that this day would be a day that we would continue to worship you as we celebrate these great gifts that you have given to us. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Children, you are dismissed for Children's Church if you haven't left already. I also want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of you. I would like to ask, I know this is slightly awkward, if you are a mother, would you please stand? If you are a mother, would you please stand? Let's give a round of applause to these ladies. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're all done embarrassing you for that part. I'm hoping to get you out soon enough that you can beat the Mother's Day rush to any restaurant of your choosing, but we'll see what happens, all right? That's all in God's plans. Three sons grew up and left home. They went out on their own and they prospered. They got back together, and for Mother's Day, they were explaining what they had gotten their mother in their many years of going out and making a career for themselves. Their first son, the first brother, said, "I built her a big home. It has marble floors, mahogany woodwork. I had some of the finest craftsmen build this mansion of a home. It has 13 rooms. It even has a ballroom so she can have parties with whoever she wants. She can now relax and enjoy her retirement years." The second son said, "I've got you beat. I know Mom really liked to travel, so I got her a Mercedes-Benz that came with a driver. I'm going to pay for fuel for the rest of her life. The driver knows every street in the country. He will get her wherever she wants as quickly as she wants." And the third son says, "I've got you all beat. You remember how Mom used to love reading the Bible?
Yeah.
And you know how her eyesight's failing her now and she can't read the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, I got her the most unique gift possible. I got her a parrot that can recite chapter and verse every part of the Bible. I had to invest millions in bringing in some of the best theologians to teach this bird for 12 years the Word of God. I invested so much money in this thing, but all she has to do is name chapter and verse, and it will recite exactly the verse that she wants." Well, the mother soon sends her letters of, well, her thank you notes to her sons. She wrote to her first son, "Milton, the house you built is so huge. I really only live in one room, but I have to clean the whole thing. What were you thinking?" "Gerald," she wrote to the second, "I'm too old to travel. I really am just a homebody. I don't travel anywhere, and that driver is so rude. He thinks he knows everything." To her third son, she said, "Dearest Donald, you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." Oh, I find myself in a similar quandary on Mother's Day. How to preach on this day. Because I could have a sermon of, you moms need to be doing it better. But number one, that really wouldn't celebrate you, would it? And you might even leave more discouraged than you came this morning. I don't know how your morning was with your kids. Who knows? I could have a sermon of, you moms are doing great and you're the best thing ever, but let's be honest, we're not here to worship you, we're here to worship God. And I was just your youth pastor, so I know better. None of us have this thing perfect, do we? So what do we preach on? What do we talk about during the sermon part of our service? I'd like to talk to you this morning about leaving a legacy of faith. So that if you are doing a good job, good job. And if you're not, let this be a challenge to you this morning. Not that you're not doing a good job, but that God isn't done with you yet. God is not done molding you into the mother He wants you to be. Don't downplay the impact. We often talk about fathers being the head of the household, and as the head, they are the leader. So they have this huge impact. Don't downplay the impact you mothers can play in a home as well. Never downplay that. Some of the greatest people in history have attributed who they are to their mother. George Washington, for instance, listen to what he said. "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Abraham Lincoln said, "All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, who has impacted men who stand behind this pulpit for generations, this is what he said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." Moms, don't ever underestimate the impact you have on your children's life. You may not see it. They might leave your home at 18 and you go, "What have I done?" In reality, you have no clue the impact that will last on throughout the years. So I want to talk to you this morning about leaving a lasting legacy. What if it could be said of your child that leaders thank God that they met your child? That they praise God for your child's faith? Wouldn't that be something that you could look back at your life and say, "Wow, that was worth it," or at least most of it? This morning, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at one verse this morning, just one verse. You can open up there. I want to read a little bit to lead into this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul is writing this letter to his protege, Timothy. Paul had been a missionary and had gone to Ephesus. He had picked up Timothy on his way, but he found that Ephesus needed somebody to leave. And of all the people there, of all the people Paul had known, he chose one person to entrust this to. That's the person Timothy, to whom he is writing the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, starting in verse 3, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." Paul is seriously saying to him, "When I'm praying, you pop into my head and I'm just so grateful. I am so grateful for you. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy." He's saying, one of the highlights of my life that I'm looking forward to is the next time I get to see you, man. I am so looking forward to this day. And then we come to verse 5, where we're going to spend the rest of our time together this morning. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." To the names of Lois and Eunice could be added those of Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. If you don't know who that is, look in our hymnal. There's a great number of our favorite hymns written by her sons. These women can be added to countless generations of mothers that have prayed for and led their children in the faith, that have left a legacy of faith. So Lois and Eunice give us some insights here as to how to leave a legacy of faith as a mother. And the first thing was that they lived out their faith. They had a legacy of faith by having living faith. And I have to ask, what is living faith? It says, it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and now it dwells in you. What does it mean to dwell? What does it mean to be living faith? Well, for that we need to go to James 1, where it says, faith without works is dead. So the opposite of faith without works being dead, faith with works is alive. It lives out from you. How do you know somebody lives in a house? They're constantly going in and out of it. They're not just visiting. There's evidence of it. The same thing needs to be true of our faith. I can still remember waking up one morning, right around 5 o'clock, sun wasn't even up yet. And I'm walking down the hallway from my bedroom, and I hear sniffling. And my mom had her journal out. She would write down her prayer journals. I'm not looking forward to the day my mother passes, but when she does, there is a row of spiral-bound journals of her prayers. I'm looking forward to being able to read those and see what God did. But I can remember being astounded. The sun's not even up yet, and here my mother is, on her knees before God, reading the Bible. And that implanted on my heart the value for this book and the value of prayer. And to my own shame, I can't even measure up to that. You try to get me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm in trouble, unless it's buck season. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but it is a shame, isn't it? So few of us live up to the standard our mothers set before us. Moms, don't stop setting that standard. Live out that faith. This isn't just dry doctrine. This isn't just something that you believe, just something that you say. Because we can all use the cliches, right? We can always talk about things in a great way, but if it's not living out in your life, it's an empty message. That is not a legacy of faith. That's a legacy of fraud. Live it out. Let it be living in and through you. There are so many mothers here that are living out their faith. It's my delight to see moms bringing their children to Sunday school, to Awana, to church. It is a delight to see you serving others and helping in whatever ways you can. And as hard as it is for you to go through trials, it is a delight to me to see you on your knees with your children praying to God in the midst of the hard times. It is a lived out faith. If you want your children to be children of faith, you must live it out. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot bequeath what you do not possess, to borrow a really technical term from Dr. Hendricks. You cannot bequeath what you do not possess. You can't give what you don't live. It's got to be lived out. Paul says this faith dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. But then he goes on, they left a legacy of faith by having confidence in the God of their faith. Other than this, we know of only one other mention of Lois and Eunice in Scripture, and that's when we're introduced to them, when we're introduced to Timothy, simply as, hey, this is his mom and grandmother. As far as we know, they were people of no significance, of no major significance anyway. But they knew that they were placed by God to make Timothy into the man God wanted him to be. They were exactly who God wanted them to be. Psalms remind us that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. This home-building psalm reminds us that there are really only two types of homes that are being built. Those that God is building, and those that are being built in vain. Those that are being built uselessly. Being built for something that's not going to last for eternity. It has to be our dependence on God that builds our home, not our dependence on financial stability, culture, career advancement, or anything else. Complete dependence on God. Not that those things are bad in and of themselves, but are they subservient to God, or is God subservient to them? They were confident. Their faith wasn't just a vague faith. It was a faith in Jesus Christ, in God Himself. That is the faith that they passed down. That is the legacy of faith that they were living out. The Lord is the one who builds and guards our home. Countless enemies are trying to destroy God-honoring relationships. The Lord is our only true hope for faithfulness. Parents, you will do everything right. You could do everything right. and your child may still walk away. How do you determine success as a parent? Because if it's the result of how your children grow up, there is a proverb that says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not flee from it. There's a reason that's a proverb, not a promise. All things being equal in ideal situations, that is how it will work out. But unfortunately, children that grew up in wonderful homes. You know, Ted Bundy's mother was a good Christian woman, and yet he still turned out to be the way that he was. You can raise your child exactly right and sin still wins. That is not on you. That is their decision. What is your faith in? Is your faith in you or in God? They knew that they were exactly the people they needed to be to form Timothy into the man he needed to be, Eunice and Lois. Ladies, this relieves you from false standards. You don't have to be Martha Stewart. You don't have to be Rachel Ray. You don't have to be Ma Walton, although that would be really awesome. You have to be you. I've often heard it put this way, be yourself, everybody else is already taken. Now that doesn't mean don't improve, don't try to grow, don't try to emulate your heroes. That's all good and well. But God has designed you to be you. And only you can be the mother to your children that God has designed you to be. Be who God designed you to be. Put your confidence in Him, that He knew what He was doing. I can remember, I can't tell you the perspective of being a mom because I've never been one, but as a dad, I can remember when our son came into the world, our firstborn, and I held that beautiful baby in my hands. Three thoughts immediately came to my mind. Oh my word, 9 months of waiting. Here he is. He's so beautiful. And I can remember thinking, man, I just can't wait to see how you grow up. And then I can remember thinking, God, are you sure? I'm going to mess this up. Hand down the faith that God has built you to be the exact person they need to be their mom. By the way, dads, this also applies to you. God knew what he was doing. It wasn't a mistake where he went, oh, whoops, we sent him to the wrong one. Can we get a rebate on that? Is there a return policy on this child? No. God knew exactly what he was getting into. He had built Eunice and Lois to be exactly the women Timothy needed to become the Timothy we see in Scripture, this great leader of the faith. Don't buy false standards. Follow Scripture. Be a woman of faith. And they left a legacy of faith not only by living out their faith and not only having confidence of the God of their faith, but by passing on their faith. Later on in this book, Paul would write to Timothy of the Scriptures, he says, of which you know, have known, since infancy. His mother was Jewish, so she would have taken seriously the command of God where he says, you shall teach my words to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Moms, if nothing else, and grandmothers, point your children to the Bible. If nothing else, that will at least get them pointed in the right direction. I didn't read all the footnotes and all the little notes that my mother put on the pages of her Bible, but I remember something. She never started a day without it. And whenever I had a question, usually there was a verse that she would attach to it. You know, Mom, I'm looking for this thing. Where is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. No, Mom, I just really need my homework. But point them to Scripture. Let that be what flows from your tongue every time they speak to you. Sure, you don't have to know the exact reference, but let it live so thoroughly in you that you are passing it on to them that you value, not just the scripture, because sometimes this can become an idol. Let this become the word of God. Let this become what is so important in your life that they know you can't live without it, because it connects you to God. Let it be more than just an old book to them. Let it be the manual for life. You will change their world if you simply point them to Scripture, living out their faith. Teach it to them. Now, I'm going to ask for some group participation, just from the moms. I'm going to give you a list of things, and one by one, if it's optional, please raise your hand. Or sorry, if it's mandatory, how about that? We'll just go with that. If this is mandatory, please raise your hand. Brushing their teeth. Mandatory, right? Like, you aren't leaving in my house with that nasty plaque, right? Getting dressed. Mandatory, right? Not being mean to their friends. Mandatory. Cleaning up their room. Doing some chores around the house. Mandatory. Going to church. Oh, wow. Mandatory. Good. I saw many more hands than I was expecting. Because often we make the faith an optional thing. You know, I don't want to force it down their throat. You know, because if I make this like a have-to thing, they might reject it later on. How many of you as adults still brush your teeth? How many of you as adults still get dressed? Praise the Lord. How many of you as adults clean up after yourselves? You liars, you go out to restaurants, they do it. But how many of you had parents that made the faith mandatory? You had to go to church on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever the doors were open. And yet you didn't walk away from it. Why all of a sudden are we afraid of doing that for our children? Pass on the faith. If you make it important to them, they'll realize it's important to them. Pass on the faith. Someone once coined the expression, God has no grandchildren. We each come to Him directly. So I have to recognize something as I'm saying this. Pass on the faith. You cannot make your children receive your faith. It's a decision they have to make for themselves. But you can set a model for them and a standard for them. You can instill in them the hope that you have in the Lord. It is this hope that can blossom into a child's personal faith. You can pray daily for their faith. You can pray daily, openly with them, specifically what you are hoping to see God do in their life. I would start, personally, with the fruit of the Spirit and with the Beatitudes. Lord, make them a loving person, a joyful person, a peaceful person, a patient person, a gentle person, a self-controlled person. Lord, make them poor in spirit. Let them mourn over their brokenness. Pray that over them at night. Let them hear it over and over, and all of a sudden, they will start to get a picture of who they really are in Christ. Pass on that faith. Look, you simply plant the seeds. You let God worry about the growth. You plant the seeds. Don't let your light hide at home. Don't hide it. The house, the home, the family is a fertile field for seeds of faith. Let them see your love. Let them see your joy. Let them see your helpfulness of Jesus Christ pouring through you every day. Pass on that faith. Leave a legacy of faith by passing on your faith. See, life's fulfillments and legacy will never ultimately be found in what we acquire, accomplish, or achieve. That is not the fulfillment of life as a mother. Fulfillment And leaving a legacy of faith is only found in loving intimacy with God and with those God has entrusted to your care. It's all about your relationship with God and your relationship with your children. Pass on the faith. Who passed it on to you? For some of you, it was your mother. For some of you, it was a grandmother or an aunt. Or for some of you, it was a different type of mother that we're going to discuss in a moment, a spiritual adoptive mother, a woman who had no children of her own, but adopted you spiritually. I can point to many in my life. Alice Armstrong, Hope Bovee, Karen Lowe, many, many more. People that you don't know. But they left a lasting impact on me. Not because my mom didn't, because they reinforced it. And that leads us to the fourth thing that they did. They left a legacy of faith by having a living faith, by having confidence in the God of their faith, and by passing on their faith, but also connecting to a community of faith. In Acts 16:1, we're told that Timothy's father was a Greek, which means he was not a believer. He had not accepted the Old Testament God to be the true God. So as his mother is training him and leading him, Eunice might have been doing this without the father having any input whatsoever. She was a spiritually single mom. How you single moms do it, I'll never know. But they were not doing it alone. Number one, Eunice and Lois were working in tandem. The grandmother was also taking responsibility for passing on that faith. Do you see the chain here? He says, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. It was a chain that passed on. Lois took it seriously. And Eunice took it seriously, and it is very likely that Lois was still in the picture helping train up Timothy in the faith. They worked together. Who is sufficient for this task of parenting? Not I. It takes a village to raise a child. They worked in tandem together, but they also connected Timothy to godly men. We know that because Paul, later on, writes of Timothy, my spiritual son in the faith. He calls him my son in the faith. That means that more than likely, while he was very young, Eunice made sure that this missionary from Paul of Tarsus, thank you, from Tarsus, that they were going to connect Timothy to him. Women, connect your children to godly men. If your husband is not willing to step up, connect them to godly men. Even if your husband does stand up, godly men, I want you to teach my son what it means to be a man of God. He's going to see it from me at home as much as I am able, but he needs to see it from you too. And my daughter needs to know what she's looking for in a husband, godly men. So mothers, bring around your children a godly community to show them what this looks like. A Native American tribe, it escapes me now who it was, once had a tradition that each child would nurse from any woman in the tribe. They would sit on the lap of any woman in the tribe. They would be trained up by any woman in the tribe. And they would call mother every woman in the tribe. And this is what happened. They were not limited just to the traditions of one woman. All of them were able to share their communal knowledge. They were not limited to the resources of just one woman. Everybody was family. And when they went to battle, they were fighting for their mothers, not just one small family. I think we have much to be gained as a family of faith from that picture. There are some women in this church right now, and some that can't even make it right now, that were your spiritual mothers, that you learned from, Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, youth group workers, or women that just mentored you. A community of faith. You just can't replace that. So pass that on to them. See, the bad news is you don't have all the answers to be a parent. The good news is you don't have to. None of us have all the answers, but we point them to the one who does. We point them to Christ. Point them to God and God's Word. That's where all the answers are. Because sometimes we can get in this idea that we have to have all the answers, especially when our kids are around the 2-3 year period. Why? We have to have that why, and eventually we just end up with, because I said so, okay? Just do it. And we think we have to have the answer for everything. But what kind of a model is that setting for our child? They're never going to think they've arrived at being an adult because they don't have all the answers. I confess freely now, I don't have half of the answers. Usually I have to run them by my wife. I don't have half the answers. We don't have to. Because the answer for all of it is Christ. And if the answer for it isn't Christ, it probably isn't going to matter anyway that you don't have the answer. Point them to Christ. Your faith is not in yourself. It's in God. These two didn't make a perfect child. I am sure Timothy still had his flaws. In fact, part of this is Paul is encouraging Timothy in his weaknesses. That's why we're reading these letters. Otherwise, Paul could have just been, yeah, Tim, you're doing a great job. Keep going. But that's not what happens. Eunice and Lois didn't raise a perfect child. They weren't perfect. And neither are we. We are much more like our children than we are unlike them. Paul Tripp in our small group has been driving that home. My children are imperfect because I'm imperfect. But where do they go for guidance? Do they go to God? Do they go somewhere else? Do they go to an attentive parent? Or do they go to whoever's going to listen? Point them to grace. Enlist people. Draft people. Hey, you're going to teach my son about this. And you need to tell this to my daughter. And I need you to take my daughter out for ice cream just so that she can hear your story. And I need my son to go out hunting with you so he actually knows what he's doing. Enlist people in your life to be that community of faith for your children. They left a legacy of faith by living out their faith. They left a legacy of faith by having confidence in the God of their faith. They left a legacy of faith by handing down their faith. And they left a legacy of faith by connecting to a community of faith. They ultimately left a legacy of faith by being mothers in the faith. There was no need for biological connection here. Look what happens. Lois, the grandmother, yes, there was a biological connection, but she is still performing the role of mother. She is still training up Timothy in the faith. That opens the door for anybody. And I want to be extremely sensitive to a particular group today. Those that want to be mothers and can't be physically. My encouragement to you is adopt. Either adopt legally or simply adopt someone in this church and bring them under your wing or a church. Be a mother in the faith. Ask a mom and dad, hey, I want to invest in your child. Can I just spend some time with them? You know, my children don't have babysitters. They have aunts. Aunt Debbie, Aunt Olivia, Aunt whoever has come, and Aunt Brenda, and Aunt whoever has come is no longer just Miss, it's now Aunt. Be a mother to someone by passing down this legacy of faith. That's what Lois was doing here. She had no command in Scripture. Grandparents, you make sure that your children read these words. No, it was all on Eunice. And yet here is Lois passing that on. Now, it's hard to tell when that's going to happen, right? We can tell when we've become a mom pretty easily. Not just giving birth, by the way. That's the obvious, being a mother. But being a mom, you double knot everything you tie. You've probably become a mom. You're starting to sing Daniel Tiger's neighborhood songs just to get through the day. You've become a mom. You hear a baby cry in a grocery store and you start swaying back and forth while you're cradling a loaf of bread. You've become a mom. You're actually beginning to like the smell of strained carrots and applesauce mixed together. You've become a mom. And you spend half an hour searching for your sunglasses only to have your teenager say, "Mom, why not use the ones that you just pushed up on your forehead?" And you've definitely become a mom when you go out for a night of romance with your husband or the man in your life, and you look down to realize you've reached across the table and started to cut up his steak for him. It's pretty obvious to know when you've become a mom. How do you know you've become a spiritual mom? When they're coming to you for advice, when you're pointing them to Scripture, when you are part of that community, when you are implanting into them the truths that have been implanted into you by countless women over the ages. When you are helping to guide them in the faith that was in you is now living in them. Be a spiritual mom. Hand down the legacy of faith. Lois was only the start, but that opened the doors for so many to be able to live a legacy of faith. You might have a connection as a mother beyond just what's genetic. You might be a mother in the family of God. Not a mother by blood, but a mother in the blood of Christ. Be adoptive mothers of faith. Again, I need to reiterate, just because you do all these things, just because you live a legacy of faith, that does not guarantee that your child will grow up being a faithful Christian. I don't want that to be what you go home with. If I just do these five things, my children are going to be perfect. No, they still are free agents and can still choose to not follow God. Think about this. There's only ever been one perfect father, only ever been one. And both his children chose to disobey and walk away from him. Adam and Eve only had one rule, don't eat from that tree, and they still walked away from it. And God is the perfect father, and his children still chose to walk away from him. If God, the perfect father, still had rebellious children, are we going to hope to be any different? In fact, it's going to be much more frequent that the child will rebel, and let us more rejoice that our child has chosen to follow Christ. John says, "Nothing gives me more greater joy than hearing that my children are continuing on in the faith." Let us rejoice that our children choose to follow God rather than gawk and wonder, why did they choose sin? Because that's who we are. But if you hand down the legacy of faith, if you are faithful as a mother to point them to Scripture, to point them to God, to live out that faith that has been implanted in you, to have that pouring out of you, then you have been a successful mother. It's not about finances. It's not about education. It's not about career. It's not even about getting them into the sports. So those things we said were mandatory. How long do teeth last? 70, 80? Maybe their whole life. For some of us, 30, start falling out. And yet we make brushing mandatory. How long is their career going to last? Well, if they graduate college around 22 and they retire at the normal 65, we're talking 43 years. How long do their friendships last? Some will last their lifetime. Most, less than a decade. Most friendships. And yet, we put all the weight on those things. How long will their soul last? Eternity. So let me encourage you this morning. If you're doing these things, keep doing these things. You've done the right things. Be a Lois. Be a Eunice. Be a mother of faith, living a legacy of faith, even to those children that are not yours. One of the greatest privileges of being a pastor is investing in other people's kids. And you can do the same. There are probably 160 people in this room right now. Maybe a little more. Each one of them you can be a spiritual parent to. It's not about being older than them. It's about handing down the legacy of faith. Live a legacy of faith. Before we take up our building fund, would you close with me in a quick word of prayer? God and Father, we are thankful for the legacy that has been given to us. For those women that you have placed into our lives that have taught us, some by positive example, some by negative example, but always have taught us and brought us closer to you. Lord, I pray that this morning and today we would take some time to simply express gratitude even to those that were spiritual mothers to us, those that had no obligation but answered the call to live a legacy of faith and hand that faith down to us. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate today, we would celebrate what truly matters, that we would celebrate the memories made and the impact these women have had on our lives. Lord, as we are about to take this offering for this building, we thank you for the legacy there as well. We couldn't have done this without women and men sacrificing for us to be here today. Lord, I pray that you would take this offering, that we'd use it for this building fund. We believe you have called us to be debtors to no one, to owe no one anything but to love one another. So in a vision for that, Lord, we ask that you would provide over and above our need, that we might be able to fulfill that plan, reveal your plan for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.